welcome back to another edition of the Book of Sorrows, the quest for the Book of Sorrows. We last left off with our crew in town. They were taking a rest and waking up the next morning for Mr. Dark Elf Telnok was going to be hung, or what we decided was hanged, right? And then he'd be hung, or whatever joke it was. But anyway.
Lynched.
Yes, lynched and thrown up. You guys...
That's smart.
Yes. You guys got the presidential suite in the inn as a celebration, and you didn't have to sit in the piss bucket room that Trask was disgusted by. And you don't have to sleep with the horse. So, I'm going to take it off when you're in, settling into your room for the night, and if you want to do any last minute things before you went to sleep, I'll pick it up from there. So you're all walking into your massive presidential suite room.
All of us together?
Yes, you've got one big giant room together. And there's one itty-bitty bed.
But the hijinks ensue.
Yeah, it's an itty-bitty bed that's Trask size.
Oh, sucks to be you guys.
Trask had with the bracer? Or
I knew you guys were going to get
bracelets. Yeah.
Trask minus the bracelets and minus the ring. No.
It's a halfling presidential suite.
It's a presidential suite and there's one big giant bed. There's various cots in the room they brought in for you. So, that's where there's a fireplace in the room. There is actually a bathing area. There is an actual sitting area so you can sit at the table and eat. There is what looks like to be, and I probably shouldn't say this, but a rope with a bell to summon a servant in case you want something. And I could hear Trask perking up looking at that. But, there's various candles around the room so you can light up and walk around. There looks like to be a small study area off the suite. So if someone wanted to go study, like a spell or a book or something, they can go in there and not be bothered by anybody else. And that's the room.
Trask goes to the bell to summon Higgins. He doesn't care what the guy's name is or if it's a male or female. They're just going to be Higgins.
All right, so you pull on it, you hear ba-bong, ba-bong, and then you hear a little at the door.
I go to open it.
You open it, you see a half-elf, and he is dressed in a white suit, and he has like a towel over his arm, and he says, "Yes, you rang?"
Higgins! Good to see you, lad. Look, I need 8 racks of lamb for me and me boys.
8 racks of lamb, and my name is not Higgins.
Higgins, don't be silly. And, the finest bottle of mead you have.
All right. He, kind of, you know, went fine, shuffles off, and says he'll be back shortly.
And I'll close the door behind him.
Okay.
We should bring Higgins with us.
About a half hour later, you hear another knock at the door again.
I open it. Expecting to see Higgins.
You see the same half-elf with a cart, and you see 3 other half-elves with other carts push it into the room, and you got the food that you requested and the best bottle of mead he hands to you.
Higgins! Good to see you, lad. Here's something for your trouble.
And he hands him he hands him like a few pieces of gold. For his trouble.
All right.
Before he leaves, I pull him aside and I say, "Which rack of lamb did you spit on? Because of his foolishness, I don't want to have any of that."
He just kind of smiles and walks out of the room.
Would I be able to overhear him?
Probably. Yeah. I don't think he really said it that low. He just kind of said, "Which one did you spit on?" So I couldn't, you know, unless you whispered
it. I'd pat him on the back and go. Ah, lad, don't worry. Spit just makes it taste better.
So I assume everybody chows down?
Sure.
So, alright, so you guys are chowing down on the food. Delphin, you said you were going to go do something?
Yes, I'd like to go make use of the bathing room and get cleaned up and kind of wash my clothes up.
Alright. Was someone else doing something? Galvin, you were going to go do something, right?
Well, I'll go ahead and... make use of the study room and pour over my magical tomes and whatnot.
Okay.
Unless there's a group of us that would like to go with me to the old magician's tower and see if there's any information we can find there.
The Book of Sorrows, Part 2, or something,
or anything useful, you know.
It's up to you guys.
Trask is down.
It's
I wouldn't worry about it. The sequel's never as good as the original.
Yeah, it's actually evening time right now, probably around 7-8 o'clock at night. So, still early in the evening, you know, for party animals. So, you guys gonna do anything, or you just want to? You gonna go to the tower? Who's gonna go to the tower?
I'll go to the tower with Galvin.
All right.
I'm resting to get my hit points back.
All right, so Erwin's taking a nap. He's going to bed pretty much. He's being an old fogue. Delphin, Delphin is becoming a woman, beautifying himself.
Hey.
Corbin, what are you doing?
I'm going to go with him to the tower because, frankly, I don't trust Trask around all the equipment they may find there.
All right.
All the priceless magical objects.
What's the worst that could happen?
They could throw him up in the air again.
What's the worst that can happen? Yeah.
What's with this mummified hand? I wonder if I can eat it.
Jeez. All right, so the three of you set off and head over to the tower. It's, you get there. It probably takes about 15, 20 minutes walking through the streets at night, people stopping to congratulate you and cherish you, and people hug you and kiss you and whatever else. You are the saviors of this town, and people love you at this point. So... Even the horse waves at you, Trask.
I give him a slight nod. It's nonchalant. Shows my affection towards him.
Okay. You make it to the tower. You see the door is ajar, which you seem to be kind of strange because you remember it was closed when you had left.
Hmm. Okay, well, let's... No, I'm going to walk in and see what's amiss in Rupert's, tower.
All right, you walk inside inside Rupert's tower, and you notice that it is actually clean, as opposed to the giant mess and ramble shambles that it was before. Everything's neatly stacked. You actually see the couch this time instead of the rubble that was a couch. You see that when you were in before, Trask, you were sitting in a seat. It was actually you thought was a seat, but it was actually a potted plant. And you were like, oh, wow.
Looters have apparently raided the place.
Yeah. You see the study...
They were OCD.
Yeah. The study, all the books are gone in the study except for one book. And most of the personal belongings that he had hanging on the walls and... Like, the rugs and everything seems to be gone.
Damn it, these guys move fast. I mean, we just saved the town, 3 hours ago.
Okay, there's one book left. Let's take a look and see what that's about.
You see that it's kind of like a history of the town, pretty much.
Okay.
Nothing really fancy.
And is the is the other rooms also cleaned out like Rupert's personal like bedroom?
You go to his personal bedroom and you see that there's nothing in there except a bed and rolled up blankets at the end as if someone new was coming along. It was all set up for him. check anywhere else?
Well, it is the, are there,
there's no other rooms, if you're asking for that.
There was a way out to, there was that entryway to the underground area where we, fought the,
Telnok.
The bad guy. Yeah, Telnok.
Yes, you walk over, you do find the trap door that Rupert brought you down, which brings you into his, private area where he was studying and mixing. And you see all his stuff is actually still there. this stuff seems undisturbed.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in luck.
So does it look like there's that he was working on anything before he went mad?
Yeah, there looks like to be something in like the mixing jars, maybe a red liquid. There seems to be something in a potion bottle that's above like a candle flame. And there seems to be some, like a small little pouch of powder that's on the table as well. There's other various books flung open on the table, on the floor, as if he was furiously looking for something. Or
okay. If I look at, just cursory glance at the open books, do they seem to be open to particular, you know, are they the same types of... I don't know, material? You know, is there a pattern to what he was looking at?
Yes, actually it looks like it had something to do with sanity.
Hmm.
While Galvin is looking at all the books and stuff, Trask is going to go over to one of the potions and pick it up and uncork it and take a whiff. And he's going to just check out the different potions that are there.
Okay, you actually, you see, the first one you pull open is a yellow potion. You take a whiff, and it smells like tree bark. You going to try another one?
I'll take a tiny sip of that. Just a little, just like wet my lips and taste it.
Okay.
Please don't kill me, please don't kill me, please don't kill me.
You take a little tiny, tiny little, like, finger lick, we'll call it, because you're kind of scared. And you don't feel any different, so you don't know what's going on. You're just like,
Is it tasty?
It tastes like lollipops.
Huh. So yeah, I'll try the one that's heating. I'll pull it off and uncork it and same old song and dance.
Okay, so you just type one message here.
I'm gonna die.
I sent that message to Galvin.
Okay.
Okay, so you went to the one that is heated. It smells kind of like chocolatey, as if it was maybe like a hot chocolate type thing brewing.
What color is it? It was blue, right?
Yeah.
Blue hot chocolate. Again, I'll take a sip.
Wait, Trask, stop.
he's like, he's got it up to his lips. He looks.
is there any mirrors in this room?
Yes, there is a one mirror across the room. Looks like it was used for maybe scrying or something.
Okay, Trask, I need you to walk over there to that room or to that mirror and take a look.
He puts the cork back on the potion, heads over. What do I see?
You kind of look like you're possibly a tree man right now. Your skin is all barky like a tree.
He brings his hands up to his face to feel. What the hell?
You feel the bark of a tree, probably maybe like an oak tree or something.
Then he does that whole mirror dance where like he leans in and kind of moves to one side to see if his reflection moves with him, holds up a hand.
Yeah, it's you.
And he grabs his nose.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you should wait before you try that other potion because your stomach just might not be able to take two magical mixtures in one go. I think it might be a time to hold off on that.
I'm a tree man. Oh, my beard! It's moss. It's moss, lad.
It suits ya.
Everybody in the room, I assume Corbin, you're down there as well, right?
Yes.
Everybody give me a d6 roll and tell me what you get.
4.
5.
Okay.
5.
Okay. I guess you don't notice anything. Okay. Continue.
All right. Are there any drawers to open? Anything else that we can look at?
No. There is just the table work area with various ingredients on it and the bookcase with various books.
You said there was a bag of powder. I'd like to look at that. Is it something I recognize?
No. I don't know. Not yet.
Okay. Well, I'll pick it up and sniff it. Not like I'm not going to inhale like the powder, but you know, just kind of sniff it to see if it smells funny.
I can't really describe the smell. It smells weird to you. You just can't put your finger on it. You're not sure what exactly it might be.
Iocane. Powder. I bet my life on it.
Okay. I'll keep this bag. But anything... I guess that's it.
Galvin, do you know if there are any apothecaries in town who might be able to identify some of these potions or powders?
Well, I've only been... This is my second night in this town, so I don't know. But I'm sure we can find out from the... folks at the end, so...
I thought you were from Tagbar.
No.
No? Okay. Sorry, it's been weeks since the last... since the first session.
Hello, future people.
All right, I'm done here, so I don't know if you guys want to check anything else out.
Well, I want to know, Galvin, all the things missing upstairs, are there any... Do you think there are any dangerous... items that were taken that we need to warn people to be on the lookout for, or were they just randomly grabbing things that probably will come to no harm?
Well, there very well could be some dangers. In my previous visit to this abode, there really was, it was just such a mess. There could have been anything under the papers. And you know, Rupert was an accomplished wizard, and he could very well. I mean, he, you know, had two wands. One he destroyed, and one he gave me. He could have had others. Who knows?
Well, I certainly can't condone thievery or whoever broke in here, but I do appreciate the more orderly nature they left this in.
Listen.
Okay.
There's someone upstairs. And Trask leaves the room to go upstairs.
All right, you just see him charge right up the stairs.
Leave
he's
Trask.
He's not charging. He's going to, like, cautiously walk up.
All right, so he goes up the stairs.
I follow him, saying, muttering to myself, leave it to Trask to be a tree without roots.
And I'll follow behind.
As we're going up the stairs, I'll draw my crossbow.
Okay. You you peer into the room, but you don't really see anything. You don't see anyone, I should say. Not anything. No, anyone.
It's, we're just... The only room that was up here is the living room and the, well, not the living room, but, like, the living area.
The living area, the bedroom, and the study.
Yeah. Let's, I'm gonna look around.
Okay. You're coming up onto the floor?
Yeah.
Okay, you guys following as well?
Yep.
Okay. Yep.
Trask, what's your armor class?
Without shield, 4.
All right. You take 2 points of damage from behind, actually. And you feel a sharp pain in your back towards your... right below your neck.
I put my hand up to where the pain is.
You feel a metallic object, a pointy metallic object in the shape of a triangle with a hole in the center in your back.
Pointy metallic object.
It has various... it's a three-sided throwing weapon. It has various inscriptions on it. but you can't read it.
Did they see, since they were behind me, did they see it go into my neck?
Let's see here. Who was coming up second?
I think Corbin, because yeah. Okay. Galvin was behind him.
Corbin, you saw it come out of the bedroom area.
Now, is this place dark?
No, it's actually lit pretty well.
Okay. So I shout out to Galvin, watch out, we're being attacked from the bedroom, and rush into the room to try and get beside the door so they can't attack me from the opening.
Okay, and Galvin, what are you going to be doing?
Well, I like his tactics, so I rush in on to the other side of the door.
Okay. And Trask?
Well, Trask is going to be Trask, and he's going to rush in through the door.
Okay.
Screaming, you're going to have to try better than that to down me!
Yeah.
So is there blood coming out of his neck or sap?
You guys do notice that he is no longer tree-barked.
Damn.
So it would be blood. All right, give me a d6 roll for initiative. We'll say that it's Corbin, since he's the leader right now, actually.
A 2?
I got a 4, so you guys get to move first. So I guess it would be Trask, because he's bursting through the room, so.
Mm-hmm.
You push open the door, you walk inside the room, and it looks exactly the same as it did before. You don't notice anything different. You don't notice anybody in there. It's very odd.
Are there any windows or anything?
Yes, there is one window that is open.
It's open? Yes. I'm going to rush over to the window to look down.
You actually do spot someone dressed in black, all black. His face is actually covered in black with a cloth, and he seems to be running down the alleyway.
Those nutty ninjas.
I'm going to take a shot at him with my crossbow if I have enough time this round.
Yeah, you can try to pull off one squeeze of that.
I got an 11 on my roll.
And you wildly miss.
Okay.
And you see he runs into the alleyway and is gone. What are the other two doing?
Oh, I guess we'll enter the room. Or I will. To see what's going on with Trask.
You see, he was pointing his crossbow out a window and he fired at something, but you're not sure what.
I'll ask him what he saw.
Some sort of weird assassin of some sort. Dressed in black, trying to hide his face.
Let me see that dart.
And he hands him the dart.
And so I'm examining it, and does it anything unusual about the dart that I noticed? Did you say there were runes on it, or
some writing on it? It's Eastern writing.
Okay, so I don't recognize it, but it. Or,
yeah, it's foreign writing compared to what you're used to.
Okay.
It's nice and it's weighed nicely. It's kind of sharp. You kind of look at it and go, "This would be kind of cool if I could figure out how to use it."
Is there evidence that there's poison on this dart?
Not that you can tell. Only Delphin would be able to figure that out.
Okay.
Why don't you prick yourself and find out? No, I'm
kidding. No. let's head back to our friends, and I think there's safety numbers. Oh, sorry.
I'm just worried. What do you think he was here for? Obviously, they've cleared out the upstairs and not gotten what they wanted. Are we sure there's nothing downstairs? Perhaps at least two of us should stay here and watch over what remains.
Maybe he was looking for the book, not knowing that we have it.
Mm. Or knowing we had it, looking for the book. Mm. The possibilities are endless.
Yeah. You tell me. So you guys are heading back, or who's staying, or what?
Well, I want to make sure if we didn't grab them before, let's go back downstairs and grab the potions and the powder.
Yeah.
All right. You get 5 different potions. Do you want each exact thing right now, or you want to wait on that?
We can wait till we find out what they are, if possible.
Okay.
Yeah. I could test them throughout the night.
Lord. Okay, so you already know the yellow one is like a skin bark thing. Or bark skin, I should say. You don't know what effect other than that it has, but... All right, so you get 5 potions. You were taking the book. Any books you were taking, or no?
Does any one book stand out from the rest?
One book says magic user level spells 1 through 3.
I'll take that book.
No, it doesn't say that. I'm kidding.
Well, no, I mean, if there's a half a dozen books, I it's not like I have unlimited ability to carry books. So if there's anything that looks unusual, then I may take it. But if there's nothing, I'm not going to take them, because what am I going to do? I already have 2 books.
the only one that stands out to you is the book on herbalism.
Okay.
Well, that kind of stands out. It kind of, you're like, okay, that might come in handy, you think?
Then I'll take that one, and maybe I'll examine that one in the study tonight.
Okay. So you guys heading back? Somebody staying, or what?
I don't think we should stay, but let's see if we can get this place shut up for a night and report what we see to the local authorities in the morning.
Okay.
Sounds like a plan, yeah.
All right,
Corbin
is
very much in agreement with bringing in the local authorities.
Okay. So you close all the windows, you lock all the shutters, you secure the place... You close the trap door, you put everything back to normal, and you leave and close the door behind you.
Mm-hmm.
You head back to the hotel, or the inn, I should say. Hotel. Wrong game. You go back to the inn, and you go back up to your room where everybody is. Delphin, you are now fully clean, zestfully clean. You feel so much better.
Nice. No more muddy bags either.
That's right. Erwin, you are still sound asleep, and you're having a nice nap, a dream about whatever you want to dream about. You can tell us if you want, but whatever.
No, I'll just keep that in my own head.
Okay. Actually, there's probably a percent chance that Trask will wake you up coming through the door, so...
You want me to roll that?
Go ahead.
52!
You are woken up by a loud dwarf coming through the door.
I groan and turn over, putting the pillow over my head.
Throws the door open. Where's my mead?
Long gone, buddy. Sorry.
Yeah, actually, you see an empty bottle, and you see Delphin walking around with a mug in his hand.
And a lampshade on his head.
Yeah, and a Hawaiian shirt he has on.
Huh, where'd you get that funny looking shirt? I want one. So I go over and I ring the bell for Higgins.
Oh, jeez. I knew this thing was going to be a bad idea, but... You hear a knock at the door.
Open it up.
He says yes. It's your Higgins guy.
Higgins! Give me some more meat.
Anything else?
More meat. Like, give me more mead, and then more mead on top of that mead.
With a side order of mead.
Okay. He comes back within 5 minutes with 3 bottles of mead.
Takes them and gives them more gold.
I think we're going to wear out our welcome real quick in this town.
Yeah.
I'm giving this guy gold.
Yeah.
Like, 3 gold.
Some things money can't buy.
The guy actually has a name tag on that says Higgins now.
Okay, maybe there is. Or there isn't.
Everybody's got a price.
Attaboy.
He leaves, and you guys, it's probably about 10 o'clock at night now.
After I'm going to down a bottle of mead throughout the course of the rest of the time I'm awake.
So okay. Delphin is awake, so he's the only one that's awake that wasn't with us, right?
Right. Erwin is actually sleeping.
So I'll let Dolphin know about our encounter.
Okay.
Is there a chance he recognizes the weapon?
Yeah, actually, Dolphin, give me a percentile roll and let me know what you got.
All right. Oh, wow. 04. Good roll.
Nice. You you take a look at it, and you said that it's a throwing star from the Oriental culture. You've seen it before, and you said these things are actually really good weighted, and you actually kind of want it.
Is it got any poison on it, or is it just clean?
You do not see any poison on it.
Okay. So did you guys find any information there about where we're supposed to go to next?
You know, it was unusual. The place was just cleaned out. We did, except for the trap door where we followed before, and we found a few magical accoutrements, but didn't notice anything that explains our where we're going. There's a lot of information about sanity. It looks like he was very concerned about his mental well-being.
Mm. Well, maybe we'll know more tomorrow. Figure out where we're going to go. Got to get this book burned.
Galvin, do you still have the
Trask?
The phrase? The little quatrain that he explained where we would have to go?
Yes, I do. I have committed it to my memory.
Oh, have you?
Absolutely. It was travel north through the dark hollow woods and then follow the grassy plains path up the mountainside to where the air becomes thin and the fog clouds become thick. There you'll seek out the Ancient One. He can tell you. That was Rubik's last words.
Well, he actually wrote it down.
So, northward.
Ah, yes.
Do you think maybe the mayor of this town or some other official would know where this might indicate or know some guides who would be able to help us on our way?
He did. They may very well, and then we could look to see. The mayor likely has maps of the area. We can maybe, even if he doesn't know exactly where, we could kind of take the hints that we have and
exactly
see if we can figure it out. Well, I'd like to freshen up, get some rest, and get ready for a new day, so I'm going to turn in, guys.
All right, so Galvin heads over to the bed with Erwin and gets in.
No, I'm going to freshen
up. Hey, I'm on a cot. I'm on a cot.
Okay, that's fine. I was just kidding. You guys notice that the room is kind of quiet right now, which is unusual, and then you just hear a big thud, and you hear a clung of a bottle, and you see Trask laying on the floor. Two mead bottles have been drunk. And he's snoring loud. So Galvin's going to bed. Delphin, what are you doing?
Do we have a map of the area where we're at?
No, you don't, actually.
No. All right.
So I assume you're going to sleep then?
I think we've already been attacked once tonight. I think we should have someone up at all times for a watch out.
I was going to say that I'll set up and watch over everybody, make sure nobody sneaks in through the windows or the doors so that everybody can get their sleep.
Okay. You're going to stay up the whole entire night?
Yeah. I thought we... determined that elves didn't need to sleep. They just need to kind of
They gotta kind of meditate, so. You still gotta kind of do that whole, Zen thing.
Okay. Well, I'll do it as long as I can until, and then wake somebody up after that.
Okay. Yeah, wake. You can wake me up.
Okay.
I'm not getting up.
Yeah, and if you don't ask me, I'm going to take the whole night to rest, too.
I mean, I'm probably incapable of getting up.
Yeah, at this point, probably. All right, so everybody goes to sleep, has a good rest. Everybody wakes up the next morning, the crow of a rooster you hear, and a knee of a horse. Everybody wakes up feeling refreshed, except for Trask, who seems to have a bit of a headache. And you also, your back hurts because you were laying on the floor.
And you quit talking.
You guys smell breakfast being made. Bacon, eggs, ham.
Trask runs to the washroom.
Now you hurl all over the place.
Man, I thought dwarves could handle their booze.
Yeah, but maybe taller dwarves. We got a runt in our in our group here.
Don't let him hear you say that.
I did say that under my breath.
How about we go try to find a local map so we can figure out where we're going north?
Okay, so you leave the room. You head down to the main inn area.
Trask exits the washroom, and he looks completely refreshed. Just perfectly fine. Oh, lad, let's go. Ham! And he pushes past everyone to go get breakfast first.
Erwin, you're back actually to full hit points if you weren't.
Okay. I'll go grab some breakfast. It's no good watching a lynching without a full stomach.
So you guys go downstairs and you prepare for breakfast. You sit down and they bring you... Higgins actually brings you breakfast to your liking. And you whatever you want, they bring to you. You are still honored guests in the town. So, what are you guys doing in the area? Are you looking for a map at this point?
I was going to ask, what's the half-elf's name other than Higgins? I mean, his real name.
He says his name is Higgins.
Okay. Well, I'll ask Higgins if he knows where we can get a local map of the region.
He says that there probably isn't a map that you can take, but you could probably get one from maybe the town guard.
So just like make a copy of what they've got? Is that what?
Yeah, you could probably go there and make a copy of what they have, he says.
Okay. We can do that after we get to Eden, if that's all right.
I ask him if he knows, is there an apothecary in town or someone who could help us identify some potions?
He said there was.
There was? Past tense?
There was. He's now dead.
He's talking about Rupert. Rupert was the apothecary.
Yeah.
Well, did Galvin, you said you were going to study that book last night. Did you...
He did not. He went to bed.
Yeah. But hey, while we're traveling, maybe I'll spend some time flipping through the pages. Just make sure I don't trip over any roots.
Okay, so what are you guys doing now?
Well, if we are finished eating, I will go find the guard that the guy suggested and see if I can't look over the maps that they have and try to make a rough copy. So we'll have something to go by. Mainly looking towards the north, which is where I'm assuming we're going.
You go there and you take a few moments and you get a rough idea of the area. Of the forest is a large, large foresty area. Heading to the mountains, you kind of estimate that if you go through the forest, you'll probably get through it within a day or so, but if you go around the forest, it'll probably take you over 2 to 3 weeks to get around.
Sounds like,
it.
Yeah. Sounds like the forest is the way to go.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Does the guard have anything to tell us about dangers of the forest?
He says that usually that no one really survives the forest, and that it's very dark and dank, and there's various creatures in it. He only heard of one person or two people that have actually been through the forest and claimed to bring people through the forest, but he doesn't believe them, so... He tells you about some nutty, druidy type person that lives outside the village, right outside the forest in his own little hut.
Are there any other type of druids?
Nice.
What's his name?
Just an observation.
He doesn't actually know his name. He said you'll know him when you see him. Because you can't miss this guy.
Well, who's the other person?
He says traveling companion.
So they could both be found at this hut?
Yes.
All right.
That sounds like the place to go.
Okay. I'll wait till you guys gather up. Any, want to get any supplies? Or?
Sure. We should restock on torches and rations. And...
Are they still grateful, or will we have to pay for those?
You'll have to pay for these things.
Gratitude only goes so far.
Trask only goes so far.
Yeah, only about 25 feet straight up.
Yeah, right. I would love to get some more rations. I'd love to get some flasks of oil and a lantern if it's possible.
Okay. They don't overcharge you. They pretty much charge you with what is listed in the book because you guys are heroes, but, you know, they still need to make money, so.
Yeah. Right.
So deduct whatever you have to deduct. I'll leave it up to you guys to do that after the game. When you update your characters, of course, you know, because you guys do that every day, like good little boys.
By the way, my 500 silver are still 500 silver, right?
Yes, your gold, your silver bag that you've been clutching everywhere you go is still...
My precious!
Yeah. Between Galvin's book and your silver, I mean, come on.
Okay, just checking.
And my shape-changing trinkets.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, I left my original staff in the portal, and I have this weapon that's all white, and is it... Other than that, does it look like I can still hit people in the head with it?
Yes.
All right. That's fine, then.
Actually, I'll tell you guys right now, you can treat each of these weapons as a +1 weapon.
Okay.
A magical +1 weapon you can treat it as right now.
I cannot believe St. Cuthbert screwed me out of a +1 weapon.
You threw it in the fire. So are you guys going to take off and start walking towards the what you were told is the entrance of the forest, or... Where the hut was, which one are you going to go to?
The hut. The guides.
Well, roughly how many days of travel do we have ahead of us?
Half day.
So I know how many rations to get.
Half day's travel, actually, to the forest. It's not that far off.
Then I'm just going to buy a week's worth of rations again.
Okay. Okay, so you guys walk there, you know, about a half day. You do see a small smokestack coming from what looks like to be a small little hut, and it's in the distance. You can see it. Okay, so you guys going to approach it or what?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
You approach the hut, and you do see that there are two figures inside there, sitting down, probably talking. Guys in the hut, which would be our new players here, why don't you take off here, whoever wants to start. You guys notice there's a group of people approaching your hut at this point.
Oh, I think Myron will jump up and rush out the door with his mace and shout, "Who are you, brigands? State your business. What brings you to this place?"
Sir, we do not respond well to threats. I can promise you this dwarf is one hair away from taking you out right now.
Yeah, Trask is kind of looking him up and down and sizing him up.
Myron does a double take at the dwarf and says, ooh, nice beard.
Delphin tries to, you know, he kind of puts his hand out in front and says, wait, we were told you could guide us through the woods. That's why we're here.
Oh. Lyrian slowly walks out of the hut. He walks up to the confrontation, and he stands there silently and looks the other party up and down.
Why don't you give us a description of what he kind of looks like so everybody knows what they're looking at?
Lyrian is a half-elf. He looks fairly young, probably about a young adult. Mm-hmm. He's wearing a large robe, and he has long, unkempt, knotty hair. And across his face, there's a big scar on his left cheek.
Okay, and Leaf, you want to describe your character as well?
Myron's a rather short half-elf with disheveled dark hair, and he wears banded armor. And it seems like he's not quite all there, but little bit of a gleam in his eye.
Okay, you guys can continue.
I don't think they're actually brigands.
You say you want to travel in the forest. Is that correct?
Yes. One of the guards in town was giving us directions, and he said that you guys could possibly lead us through the woods. We're traveling northward.
Ah, it can't be done. You can't go through these woods. Are you crazy?
After you hang out with us for a while, you'll say yes. Yes, we are a little crazy. But we're actually on a mission.
Trask pulls up Hell's Double Tap and he goes, you see this ox? This is a hell ox.
A white hell ox?
I got it from hell. And then he looks at Myron and he goes, you don't want to mess with me.
Nice axe.
Well, what sort of mission could possibly want you to wander through such a deadly stand of trees?
Are you familiar? Go ahead.
No, you can go ahead.
I was going to say, are you familiar with the troubles that the town recently went through?
The town in trouble? No, I don't concern myself with the town.
They feel much the same about you, I'm afraid. The town was under an evil aura. Much, much evil.
And I'm sure your party of dwarves with hell axes and scrawny human mage types, I'm sure you are the ones who lifted that dark aura. Am I correct?
Well, you can scoff if you want, but I can promise you, while this dwarf might be ridiculous at times and play fast and loose with the rules, none have been a finer fighting compatriot.
Yeah.
With the bravery to face any danger. And the same can be said for all of my companions.
I suppose, if nothing else, at least they can feed the giant spiders and the bears.
Galvin's very self-conscious after the scrawny thing, and he's been rubbing down his clothing, kind of looking at it, like, what?
Trask is like, he's like, they killed me a dark elf with this axe. They're making fun of me.
Myron, you do raise a good point. If these adventurers aren't all they propose to be, I suppose there's nothing to lose by leading them through. What is your mission?
We have the task to destroy the Book of Sorrows, which was the source of the trouble that the town was experiencing.
And what is your reasoning behind this desire?
Actually, I'm not sure I desire to destroy the book, but it seems like it's something we must do.
I got to say, Corbin is very concerned about this question. He's like, the book is evil. There need be no other reason.
Trask is like, it's the right thing to do.
We'll see about that. Anyway, I suppose if it were possible to get through, we would be your guys to take you. Just be aware that it is sacred ground, and it must be treated with the utmost respect. If you fail to heed these words, it will be on your onus.
And we'll check for the giant spiders.
As a cleric, I can promise you that sacred ground is my utmost concern. What in particular would make this ground sacred, and what would we have to do to ensure not running afoul of the gods of this area?
Well, I'm sure your god has his own temples, and I would simply suggest that you would treat this entire forest, and indeed the rest of the world, as you would treat your own god's sacred ground.
Does that go for any monsters that might jump out at us in the forest?
Well, it's a question of respect. Just keep that in mind.
Oh, I respect monsters.
So as long as we are not killing things willy-nilly, we'll be all right? I mean, if they attack us, we can fight back, correct?
Well, yes. It would be foolish to stand there as a creature struck you down. I would say so anyway.
Trask smiles and goes, good. It's been a while since I ate me a giant spider.
Boy. Okay.
Then he thwomps the hilt of his axe into his hand.
I can promise you none love nature more than my dwarven friend. Just yesterday he was a tree.
Oh, well, any man who desires to become one with the woods has the right to be in my company.
All right, I get it. Don't piss on any woods. Let's go. And he kind of heads off into the forest.
He just walks into the forest.
All right.
I think we need to wait for them to
Trask walks into the forest.
It's actually this way,
fellas. Yeah, you guys immediately know he's going the wrong way when he walks in.
And never follow Trask.
Well, I suppose I'm all for taking off down the path and starting up a nice Utu versus Druidism debate with, what's the Druid's name again?
Lirion.
Lirion, yeah, as we're walking through there. Friendly banter and such.
Lirion silently backs away from the party and wanders into his hut and begins fiddling and gathering and supposedly making his preparations to go.
Is Trask still, like, bounding out through the woods or something?
Yeah,
after about 15 minutes, he comes back. What don't you understand about let's go? We got a book to kill.
Myron's going to pull a twig out of his beard and kind of look at it and drop it on the ground.
While we're waiting, I'll go ahead and pull out the herbalism book and start flipping through and see if it helps me identify one of the potions.
All right, now give me a percentile roll.
Eight. 8.
Okay. You do actually realize, after looking, actually, one good flip, and you look up blue potion, and you find, actually, it is actually a healing potion.
Oh, nice. Hmm. So how many of our potions look like that?
Just the one.
Just one?
Okay. Yeah, it has, it looks like, from what you can gather, 3 doses in it.
Cool. I'll share the newfound knowledge with my friends.
Okay. He tells you, "I've got a healing potion," and he throws it in the air, and it cracks. And
no, falls.
No. he tells you he has a healing potion. He figured it out. At least he thinks that's what it is.
No, I'm confident.
All right, he's confident. He does one of those anime poses with the confidence and the peace sign and everything.
My eyes sparkle. And...
Bling! Yeah, he's pretty confident. So you were in the hut, Lirion, right? Lirion.
Yeah.
What were you exactly doing in there?
I was simply picking up my spell components and a couple of torches and some rations and shoving them in my bag, and I reemerge.
Okay.
You have been listening to The Quest for the Book of Sorrows. If you have any questions or comments, please visit the cast at rfipodcast.com. Follow the cast on Twitter at rfipodcast or at facebook.com/rfipodcast. Join us next time for The Quest for the Book of Sorrows.